And in your Grace Connection group this morning, I know especially for the young adults and our two other adult classes as well, that you studied a passage from Exodus chapter 18, verses 24 through 27, about Moses listening to the wise advice of his father-in-law, Jethro. And in your daily discipleship guide, and by the way, let me encourage you, I bring up what we do on Sunday mornings in our Bible study time as just an enhancement, and it's not ever to be given or received as guilt if you weren't there this morning. And I bring that up. Don't sit there and say, he's talking about it. I'm not. I'm bringing this in reference to help continue on what God has been teaching us already this morning, to enhance that, but let it be a word of encouragement for you to say, you know what, maybe I need to be there. So may it be a word of encouragement, not a word of condemnation or guilt to you if that's the case. So just know that as we begin. But I think the two are so interconnected that, and part of what we're doing, you're beginning to see that our memory verse, what we study in our Grace Connection class, and a lot of times what the message is, and all those things are fitting together so that we're going deeper. We may be, in a sense, learning less things. And I don't want to say that. I want to preface that by saying we're not learning a whole lot of things and forgetting all of those things. Most of those things we're learning. We're learning a few things, but we're trying to go deep with those few things that we're learning. And we're doing that going together as a body. And it's exciting to be able to do that. And so in your daily discipleship guide under point three, which you've already looked at today, this was in your student book. It says, the ministry of the gospel is an enormous task, and I'm reading from page 87, is an enormous task of eternal importance. This is why God designed the church to function with each of us sharing the work of ministry with each other as we each work together to build up the body of Christ, preserving the unity of the church and glorifying God as people see us work together in unity, humility, and love. And I know that you've already looked at that this morning, but I believe we'll benefit from continuing on with what the Lord is talking about with wisdom as we walk in this local church family that we affectionately call Grace, as we walk together. And I encourage you to be studying your lessons. The last three lessons of our Grace Connection are vital. They've been vital. Talking about deliverance, talking about God testing us, and endurance. These things are vital for us, not just today, walking today, but for the future. And I see these studies that we're doing on Sunday morning as us building good foundations for future life together. Because as we move on, life's going to get difficult for each of us in different ways. It could be individual, difficult. It's seemingly going to get culturally more difficult. And as we read through the scriptures, as we read from Matthew chapter 24 about what Jesus was saying, that these are just the beginnings of the birth pains, the beginnings of the pain, the beginning of things. And we're thinking, oh my, if that's just the beginning, what's the rest of it going to be like? And so I encourage you, as your teachers labor over these lessons from the Gospel Project each week, and us spending these next 3 years going through from the Old Testament to the New Testament, seeing Christ in the Scripture, from us memorizing the Scripture, singing songs about what we're studying, what we're memorizing, and then taking that on to in your daily discipleship guide, where you have five devotions each day of this coming week that are based on what you studied this morning, what I'm about to bring before you now, that God is strengthening us, he's maturing us, and he's preparing us for the work of ministry today, but also for the future. And so as your teachers labor over these lessons, each of these lessons, and we go through them together. Even the children, I'm talking about children as well now, that I pray that as you, as someone in that class, will labor over the word with them, that you'll be prepared when you come in, that you'll have read the text before you come in, knowing what they're going to present, and that you'll listen, and then you'll leave continuing on studying that passage of Scripture, deepening and growing in your own faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me encourage you there. But since we've already studied that, the first thing we need to look at, there's three things we're going to look at today. The first thing is that we need from the Lord is to recognize the call from the Lord for each and all of us to walk in a wise manner in the body of Christ. And then we need from the Lord the understanding of why He calls us to walk in wisdom in the body of Christ. And then the last thing we're going to look at is we need from the Lord a means to be able to do that, a means to be able to gain the wisdom to walk wisely in the body of Christ. So let's look at the first, that God calls you to, to walk wisely in the body of Christ. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to actually begin in verse 1, because verse 1 sets the context for the what we want to talk about and look at that beginning in verse 15. But Paul says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, in verse 2 as well, as we walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So he tells us right off the bat to be imitators of God, to walk in the love of Christ, which God has shown us in Christ sacrificing himself. So everything we read after that needs to be read with those glasses on, I suppose. So we're called to walk in love. And if you want to know what that means for the church, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We read that at weddings, and that's okay. If the two are brothers and sisters, not in an Alabama way. Just kidding. Just strike that from the thing. If the two are brothers and sisters in Christ, then it applies to them. So it's okay to do that at a wedding. But Paul didn't write that for a wedding homily. Paul wrote that for the church. So 1 Corinthians 13 is for us. And then Paul lists, if after first one, he lists a boatload of unloving ways to walk, if you read between verses 3 and 14. And he gets down to 15, and we read these words. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. You see that the instruction that Paul gives here is individually, but we have to understand Paul is writing to the church as a whole as well. So we always have to understand that when if Paul says you do this, and you're thinking that he's talking directly to me, he is talking directly to you. The Lord is talking directly to you in the context of the you as the body of Christ as well. So we can't separate the two out. We can't say that he's just talking to me, but not to anyone else in the church. He's talking to the church. He's writing this letter to the church as a whole and the individuals who make up that church in Ephesus there. And so we have to understand the individual Christian context is always in the context of the local body of Christ, or the body of Christ as a whole, and as we bring it even more down home to the local body of Christ. And so I understand that as I speak here, we're not all members of Grace. You may not have officially joined Grace, But if you allow me to speak to the Grace family, which you may be an attending part of, as we work through this text, and if you are a member of another church, then apply what I'm saying there as well. Paul lists six ways to walk in wisdom. And as we apply these, and let's look at the ways we need to apply this in a sense, but I kind of want to go through them first, and then I want us to move to another passage of Scripture and apply them within that passage of Scripture. So as we look at these, think about your place at Grace. As we go through these six things, just think about your place at Grace. You're here. God has placed you here. How does this apply to you here in this local body of believers? First thing he says is, you are called to make the best use of your time because the days are evil, he says. That's one way to walk wisely. Make the best use of your time. Back to the quote from our gospel project lesson today. The ministry of the gospel is an enormous task of eternal importance. The ministry of the gospel is an enormous task of eternal importance. And so if that's the case, then we've got to walk wisely and make the best use of our time in the ministry. Time is short. We know that. How often have you ever said, man, it seems like yesterday. Seems like yesterday. Someone asked, Nancy, I believe you asked Debbie what year they married, and you said 1978. Seems like, yeah, I mean, that thought seems like yesterday. I don't know, you're married to Jerry. That might seem like eons. I'm just kidding. Seems like yesterday. We think that all the time, don't we? We say that because it's true. It does seem like just yesterday. The next one that he lists there is that you're called to understand what the will of the Lord is. God's will is the way and the means what he desires to accomplish his work. We read both on heaven and on earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. We do the model prayer. He says also you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to walk in submission to the Spirit. Walk as the Spirit directs according to the Word. We could use the word right here, controlled. That word filled can be translated controlled. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. He's not talking about some ecstatic manifestation of the Spirit of God here. He's talking about all believers being controlled, walking in submission to the Holy Spirit. He says you are to make melody in your heart to the Lord. Melody denotes what? If you sing melody, it's a joyful song, is it not, Miss Janet? We should have smiles on our faces, right, when we're singing and making melody to the Lord. So I hope as the worship team is up here leading and they're watching you sing that you're all smiling with a joyful melody in your heart to the Lord. Which brings us to the next one. You are to give thanks always for everything. And then Paul says you are to submit to your other brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is the way to walk wisely, he says. This is walking in wisdom and not in an unwise manner. Now let's turn to another passage of Scripture. And I want to take these six ways of walking wisely. I want us to take these six ways of walking wisely in grace and apply them to the context found in this passage. And you'll see this kind of goes hand in hand with what we learned today about when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, said, why are you doing this by yourself? There's more people in Israel to help you. Get them to help you do this. And so, let's look at this. So, God describes how, one way, this is not the exhaustive list, the exhaustive way, but God describes how you are to walk, how you can walk wisely as a member of Christ's body. So we're going to take what Paul says to walk in a wise way, what he says to the church, walk in a wise way, and we're going to back up and look and see how Paul describes the church. And so we take that way of walking wisely in the church and we apply it to what the description he gives us of the church. So we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So Paul takes the imagery of a single human body, and he describes that as the church as a whole. And then he takes the imagery of all the different parts of that human body, and he applies that to all the individual people who make up that church, local church, or in the context we're looking at, in that local church body of believers, and specifically the one we refer to as Grace. And this is very important in us hearing and understanding our call in the body of Christ to walk wisely in the body of Christ. And as I read this aloud, think about the six ways we just looked at that Paul said to walk wisely in Ephesians. So let's look at chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and beginning in verse 12, we're going to read down to verse 20. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all are made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. You see, the premise here is much like what Jethro told Moses to do. The work of the Lord is too enormous for one person to do. Now, we understand a lot going on in the Corinthian church as to they were fussing and arguing and complaining and all those things that some church folks do sometimes. We understand the context of that. But we see this, that Paul is setting them straight on these things in order that the enormous work of the gospel will go forth in that pagan city of Corinth. Probably one of the most pagan places in all that area of the world. To be a Corinthian was to be labeled immoral, among other things. And so the work of the Lord was enormous there. And Paul needed the church to see, the believers in Corinth, the church there to see their important, needed place in the body of Christ. And the work of the Lord was enormous there. The work of the Lord is enormous here, even in Abingdon. It's enormous. And that means, if that's true, then that means that your part in the work of the Lord is so very important. That your part, your membership, not on a roll, church roll, I'm talking about your membership in the body of Christ, whether it be a finger, eye, ear, foot, whatever that may be, is so vitally important within the context of this Grace family and in the greater body of Christ that it needs to be understood and grasped by you and by me that just because we say I'm not important doesn't mean it's not important. It is. You're very important in the body of Christ. God saved you. He called you and he placed you. By we're told there, as he chose. Does God choose things wrongly? No. Does he do things right? Yes, he does. And so your participation, your ministry, in this local body is very important. Very important. And this is how we serve wisely in the Lord. So let's go back and let's take Ephesians 5 and let's place it in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Making the most of your time. Remember, time is short. Again, I don't have to remind you that. Life is a vapor. We're told, James tells us that. It's fleeting. Here today, gone tomorrow. The grass withers, the flower fades. We're told that in the Old Testament. And your member, part of the ministry of grace, is needed now. not future. Not just future. It's needed now. Because a lot of times we get to the future fast, don't we? And we look back and we think, oh, I ought to. I should have. Your time is now in the ministry, and it's needed right now. And so we're called to make the most of your time in the ministry at Grace, needed and important even now. And remember, we say this periodically, and I probably should say it more to myself, preach it more to myself as well. Grace is not a place to attend. Grace is not a place to attend. We are a people saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not the only people. We prayed for our brothers and sisters at Pleasant View United Methodist Church today. And we'll pray next month. We'll have 2 weeks where we begin praying for someone else. And we'll be praying for our other brothers and sisters. But the same is true with them. Valley Street Baptist Church is not a place to attend. They are a people saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the here and now. And so remember that. We don't attend church. We are the church. And so we do the work of ministry even now. Do this for just a minute. Where's my phone here? As Ray Comfort says at the end of his little minute, there goes another minute, gone forever. It's gone. Seemed like a long time to us sitting here, though, didn't it, waiting. But there goes a minute. It's gone. Never to be retrieved or gained again. So use your time as an important member that you are of the Grace family, and begin today. Paul said to the Ephesians to know the will of the Lord. See, it's God's will that you serve Him in the context of a local church. And you are, obviously, by sitting here, you are seeking His will here at Grace by virtue of that. And in the wisdom of understanding the will of God, if you're an eye, then serve as an eye. Don't get territorial with that. you may not always be an eye. Understand that. I agree with Henry Blackaby that we get pigeonholed into our spiritual gifts sometimes and think, I can only have the gift of mercy. I can't do anything else, or I can only have the spiritual gift of administration. No, I truly believe that God gives us spiritual gifts. I think there's ones that we have predominantly, but I think there's also times when it needs be that if I don't have the ability to do administration or whatever, that God would spiritually gift me to do that in a moment that needs to be done. That would define the context of a spiritual gift and not a talent anyway, to be able to do that. So if you're an eye, then serve as an eye. If you're an ear, then serve as an ear. If you're a foot, serve as a foot. You see, that brings much wisdom to the church. That's what we're talking about, walking wisely in the church. That brings much wisdom to the church. Because this is the will and the way that God has ordained for the church to function. We're not all eyes. We're not all ears. We're not all fingers. That's His will, that we're not all those things. And He has placed you in His grace family to serve Him and to show that what His will is in the ministry. And if you have to ask the question, is that the ministry? If you're frustrated in a ministry, it may be the fact that you're not in the place that God would have you to be. It's not necessarily always the case. You don't jump ship just because we get a little frustrated at times in a ministry position, because that's going to happen to all of us if we serve the Lord. But if you feel like you're kicking against the pricks all the time, it may be time to get on your knees and say, God, where do you want me to serve? Am I serving you in the wrong place? Is there something else you want me to do? The next one that we apply is being filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not only saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do the work of ministry at Grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you this. How wise would it be for you to unplug your coffee pot and then expect it to make coffee? How wise would that be? Not much wisdom in it at all, is there? You say, that'd be nuts. Number one, you'd leave the house ill because you hadn't had your cup of coffee. But how do you approach your ministry at Grace? Do you approach it plugged in, the Holy Spirit? Or do you approach it unplugged, thinking, I can just do this. I can do this. Or do you approach it saying, God, unless you show up, unless you do this work through me, it's in vain. This house is being built in vain. As a Grace Group connection teacher, you know the need. As you teach each Sunday, you know the need of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that. As a greeter or hospitality minister, you know the need to be filled with the Spirit as you greet, as you make coffee, as you hand out Sunday morning goodies. You say, well, that's just handing out Sunday morning goodies. It is. But guess what? We need to be filled with the Spirit if we're going to hand out Sunday morning goodies. We need to be relying on the Spirit to even do that. As an usher, you know the need to be submissive to the Holy Spirit as you take up the offering or as you administer security at the door. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit to do. We don't turn that off and go out there and sit, and we don't unplug and go out there and sit and watch the door and to keep the place secure. And then come back in here and say, oh, it's my time to pray. And you plug back in, you come back up here and say, okay, now I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, help me pray. It's just a meaningful ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit to do security, to take up the offering, to clean the building, to do whatever, as it does for me to stand up here and preach, or you to stand up here and sing, or you to sit in your class. All the other things we look at as more important sometimes. The next one, melody in your heart. One of the wisest things we can do in our Grace family is to have a song of joy in our hearts as we serve the Lord with the other members of the body. Far too many churches complain about work needing to be done in the kingdom of God. That's why God commands you and I to do everything without complaining or murmuring. Why? So that we may be children of God. Obedient children of God, we're told. And if you can't stop complaining about serving the Lord, you have two choices. We have two choices. I have two choices if I can't stop complaining. And I struggle sometimes with complaining. Gary, you mentioned that this morning. I mean to throw you under the bus with me, buddy, but you mentioned that in class that we struggle with that, complaining. And I have two choices. I can either repent of my complaining, or I can quit what I'm doing and not quench the spirit. If I can't quit complaining, I need to quit doing it. First thing I need to do is repent. That's what I need to do, is repent. There's not much more that will stifle the work and effectiveness of the gospel work in a local church than complaining and griping about the things in the church. I'm serious. There's not much more that will throw cold water and throw just water on the fire of the gospel in a church than complaining and griping about that work in the church. See, the wise follower of Jesus sees his or her place in the church and sees his or her membership in the body as a place to joyfully serve. Unwise folks complain. So when I complain, I am acting in an unwise manner. Unwise folks complain. Wise folks serve the Lord with a song in their heart. How many of you like to be serving the Lord beside somebody who's complaining about what they're doing for the Lord? How many of you like to be beside somebody who's whistling, you know, a hymn or having a song in their heart or excited about what they're doing with the Lord? I know. And so that's why we're called to do that. Let's keep moving here. Always giving thanks. A wise follower of Jesus is always thankful for his or her place in the body of Christ. If you're an eye, say, "Thank you, God, I'm an eye." For he or she has a good understanding of the truth that